Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. Today we will finish the book of Ecclesiastes. We'll look at chapters 11 and 12. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. It says, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again." In other words, don't always play it safe. God certainly does not promote recklessness. But there's a point where we are wrong when we play it too safe. If we take calculated risks once in a while, you may get some big benefits as a result. Calculated, of course, not going contrary to the Word of God. And that's what this is talking about. It's talking about that. It's also talking about giving to needs. And then it says in verse 2, "Give portions to seven, yes, to eight, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. Be generous while you have something to give. Trouble may hit, and then your opportunity to be generous will be gone. Trouble may hit, and you also may need the generosity of others. Of course, a godly person will give without expecting anything in return, according to what Jesus says, that we are to give to those who cannot repay us. And then it says in verse 3, "If clouds are full of water, they pour rain upon the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there will it lie." He's talking about the inevitable, the unchangeable. Heavy clouds drop rain. It's just the way it is. A fallen tree is going to lay where it fell. Those two things are a sure bet. Another sure bet is that there will be good fruit in of some sort from generosity. And then he says in verse 4, "Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap." And here's a rebuke again, I guess you would call it, about being overly cautious. The farmer who is overly cautious about the possibility of wind and rain, and therefore doesn't do his field work, is not going to have any harvest. "Well, I'm not going to go out there and plant today because there's a 20% chance that, you know, there's going to be wind, and that'll blow the seed. So I'm not going to take any chance. Or I'm not going to go out and plow today because there's a 10% chance that we might get frost. Or, you know, rain might come and wash it away." So he doesn't do anything. Well, he's not going to get any harvest if you play it that safe. I mean, it's good to be cautious. It's good to be prudent, but it's not good to be frozen with fear and overly cautious. If you're waiting for the perfect situation to come, then you're not going to do anything because it's not going to come. Not in this world. 5, "As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things." Our finite minds do not understand really all the details about science, physical science, or any other kind of science. That's what is suggested here in verse 5. "As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in the mother's womb." There's a lot about science we don't know. And if our finite minds do not even understand all that there is to know about science, well, no wonder God's ways are mysterious at times. No wonder we can't figure him out. He's a lot more complicated than science. 6. "Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let not your hands be idle. For you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. Be faithful to do your work and not quit." Be faithful to do your work, start well, and keep at it. Because you don't know. Success may depend on the work you do early or the work you do later. You just don't know. So if you're going to start something, go at it until the job is done. And go at it with all your heart until the job is done. Verse 7. Light is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. Boy, does it ever. People down in Arizona take it for granted, I think. But just ask those of us in Wisconsin, who sometimes have to go for weeks without seeing the sunshine. And then the sun, you know, peeks through the cloud, and everybody's face just lights up, you know. Sun breaks through the clouds. What a joy it is. Verse 8. However many years a man may live, let him enjoy them all. But let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. The days of darkness refer to death. And the word of God here says they will be many. The days of darkness will be many. The days of death far outnumber the days of life here on earth. Enjoy what you can from this life. But remember, death is coming. And eternity lasts a lot longer than this life. So remember to live for God during this life. And above all, keep trusting Christ for salvation. That'll prepare you for the dark days, which will be many. 9. Be happy, young man, while you are young. And let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. There's a good balance struck here, I think. Knowing that God will bring us into judgment, knowing that God will praise us or blame us for the things that we do, makes every detail of life meaningful. Everything. Meaningful, not meaningless. And the lesson that we can draw from verse 9 is this: be happy, again, within the boundaries of Scripture. Within the boundaries of Scripture, be happy. Because you can't win a game if you play it out of bounds. And you're going to fail with God if you live life outside the boundaries set by Scripture. 10. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body. For youth and vigor are meaningless. He says, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body. This is talking about self-imposed hardships, self-imposed pain, which sometimes religious people have done through the years. He's saying, get rid of false religious sorrow. He's saying, get rid of false Christian sanctimony that causes you to walk around all gloomy or beat yourself up. Harsh treatment of the body. Colossians warns that there's no benefit to that. It may look holy to some, but it is foolish. God wants us to be cheerful, to enjoy what we can enjoy about this life. That's part of being a Christian as well. That balance. 12. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come. And the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Reverence God and be grateful for His blessings before the feebleness of old age sets in. Very important. To reverence God early in life and to live with God early in life. And tell you something else that this verse is, that can be applied to this verse. Develop good habits at a young age. Develop good habits of reading the Bible every single day, of praying every day, of praising God every day. Those habits will stick with you the rest of your life, and they will serve you until the day that you die. Verse 2. Now he's going to start to use a lot of figurative language here in the next several verses to describe old age. So let's read verse 1 and then verse 2. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. Remember God before advanced old age sets in, before the time comes when one calamity after another calamity, one physical problem after another physical problem is the norm. 3. When the keepers of the house tremble, that's talking about hands, and the strong men stoop. When the grinders cease, talking about teeth because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim, talking about eyes. There comes a time when the hands become too shaky to do what they used to do when you were younger. My dad in his final years used to get so frustrated because he was always handy with building things, you know, and toward his latter years, or in his latter years, he'd pick up a screw or a nail and he'd be dropping it and just couldn't hold on to things the way he used to even. And the teeth aren't what they used to be either. And the sight begins to grow dim as well. And then he says in verse 4, when the doors to the street are closed, and the sound of grinding fades, when men rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow dim. Doors refer to the ability to speak well. With extreme age, the voice begins to lose power. Kind of cracks. It just doesn't have the authority that it once had. And the hearing starts to go also, to the point where you can't enjoy music or conversation like you once could. 5. When men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along and desire no longer is stirred, then man goes to his eternal home and mourners go about the streets. He talks about here when men are afraid of heights and the dangers in the streets. Well, because the body can't do what it used to do, fear or being timid replaces confidence. Because your hands are too shaky. Your hands shake. And they never used to. Your teeth, your sight isn't what it used to be. Your hearing isn't what it used to be. You become timid. Fear begins to replace confidence because you just can't do the things that you used to be able to do as well. And he says in verse 5, hair turns white. And also interest in many things begins to fade because the ability to enjoy them fades as well. Verse 6. Remember him before the silver cord is severed, or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, or the wheel broken at the well. He says, remember God before the silver cord is severed, or the golden bowl is broken. A silver cord and a golden bowl refers to a hanging lamp. If one link of the hanging lamp chain snaps, the entire lamp crashes. And so God is saying, life is fragile like a hanging lamp. Remember God while you are young. Because someday, one of those links is going to snap. Something's going to give away. Your strength is going to snap and your life is going to crash. Because it happens to everyone. 7. Let's read 6 along with it. Remember him before the silver cord is severed, or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, or the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from. and the spirit returns to God who gave it. The body's going to return from the dust that it came from, and the spirit is going to return to God who gave it. That happens to everyone. Our bodies are going to die, and they will decay, and they will turn back to dust. But our spirits will go to God if we have received salvation through Jesus Christ. God owns us, body and soul. He owns us. He made the earth. He owns the earth. He made the earth from which he made our bodies. He owns our bodies. And he owns our souls too, because he's the one who breathed our soul into existence, into our body, when we were being formed. 8. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. Well, if you don't know Jesus Christ, as we have seen many times in this book, yes, life is meaningless. Life for people on earth does not get better. It may get better for a while, sort of like a pyramid, but then it starts going downhill and it gets worse. That's just the way it is. That's because of sin in this world. It doesn't get better. It ends in brokenness. It ends in sickness. It ends in becoming feeble. It ends in death. Life on earth is a dead end and meaningless if it is lived without a relationship with our Creator, Jesus Christ. 9. Not only was the teacher wise, but also he imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The writer was inspired by God, but that inspiration was combined with and became effective with a lot of hard work on his part too. He had to work hard to write this book of Ecclesiastes, which was inspired by God, but he didn't sit back and God didn't, you know, work through him through automatic writing. He researched, he did the work, he sat down, he wrote it out. And there's a lesson for us. God gives us the strength and the ability to do what he wants us to do. But that doesn't mean that we don't have to try and maybe fail, and maybe try again, and maybe fail again, and try again, and work hard at whatever we do. 10. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. He spoke in a simple, straightforward way, choosing his words carefully and making them as pleasant as possible. And that should characterize the words of any Christian. Speak in a simple, straightforward way, always choosing our words carefully, and making them as pleasant as possible, and sometimes it's not too possible. But that should characterize a Christian's words, and especially the Bible teachers. And this man was a teacher. 11. The words of the wise are like goads. And the words of the wise here would refer to Scripture. It would include Scripture, that's for sure. The words of the wise are like goads. They're collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. A good way to, or I should say, a goad. Not a good. A goad was used to poke cattle and get them to move. It was a very uncomfortable poke. You stabbed them with a sharp goad and punctured them, and then they would move. Otherwise, they wouldn't move. They had to feel pain or they wouldn't move. Well, the Word of God often pierces us like a goad. It sort of stings our soul and gets us moving in the direction of God. 12. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study wearies the body. The number of books out there which claim to have answers, which claim to have a formula for success in life, has exploded. But there's only one book that has all we need for life and godliness, faith and morals, how to be saved from hell, and how to live in a way that pleases God, and that book is Holy Scripture. 13. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So he sums up the entire book. Amidst all the many claims from a multitude of people with all their how-to books and all their seminars, one most important thing rises to the surface. More important than any of those things, it boils down to this: reverence God and let that reverence lead you to holiness. What could possibly be more important than that? After all, God is our creator, and someday he will be our judge. And then he says in 14, for God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it be good or evil. Everything we have said or done will be examined by God on judgment day. Even those things people foolishly believed they could hide from God will be examined on judgment day, every last thing. And in light of that, 2 Peter 3:14 says, I think this is a good verse to close this study with, 2 Peter 3:14, so then, my dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. And Scripture says that we can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we stop there. Until next time, so long, everyone.